Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. We were here on Tuesday night, kind of set us up for this morning's service. 1 Peter chapter 4. Amen. We're still connecting to the church. I'll trouble your patience one more time about the benefits of being connected to the church by way of the Holy Spirit. But we want to lift for your hearing, beginning at verse number 12. 1 Peter, chapter 4. Getting at verse number 12. God, I thank you. Word of the Lord reads on this wise: Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Mm-hmm. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Yes.
If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Said this is benefit number 10. I want to talk about the Spirit of glory. Spirit of glory. We've spent several weeks now, 10 if you will, talking about the Holy Spirit as being the Spirit of this and the Spirit of that. And today, I know y'all ain't trying to hear it, but as we were trying to encourage and lift one another to a place of praise, a place of worship, some of us are a little heavy, and sometimes that is because of the struggle that we're experiencing. We're a little heavy because of the suffering that we may endure. But I come to tell us today that the scripture declares that glory belongs to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that there should be some glory that on those who are believers in Jesus the Christ. And Paul, it seems, says that and speaks of suffering and glorying almost in the same breath.
Wow.
You know, the saints of old said it like this: no cross,
no crown.
No crown. That's what Paul is saying to the church today. And those of you who might have been with us in Bible study on Tuesday, we learned that suffering, y'all, first of all, is a reality.
Uh-huh.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we learned that when you suffering, it should make us more prayerful.
Yeah.
Because, you know, praying fights the enemy.
That's right.
We won't even fight him with the tools that we have.
My God.
Yeah, praying fights the enemy, and it should make us more practical. My brothers and sisters, that says that we should show love and that we should shoulder hospitality. I mean, be friendly to strangers. That's what the text says. And that we should share our gifts. That means we got to be good stewards of the grace that has been given to us by the gifts that he's blessed us. And then the suffering should make us more perceptive. Suffering should sharpen our perception about the word of God,
yeah,
about the work of God, and about the worship of God. So that's where we were Tuesday. That brings us up to where we are in our text today. When we find ourselves around verse number 12, he says in this idea, as we look towards glory, that there is some guaranteed experience that you're going to have. Look at it. Verse 12. Behold, no, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you,
yeah,
as though some strange thing happened unto you. I couldn't get past beloved.
Yeah.
Because first of all, he needs you to understand that he sure enough loves you.
Yeah.
Does anybody need love on this morning? That you come to grips with the fact that God still loves you in spite of you.
Amen.
Paul opens the sentence and he says, beloved, I couldn't get past it because every now and then you may feel that you might be out there all by yourself. And he says, beloved, he begins to speak to us today, and he calls us beloved. He said, don't act like some strange thing has happened.
Right.
I got to work myself backwards here. He said the strange thing, my brothers and sisters, is the prosperity, the power, and the popularity of so many people in the Western church and the so-called prosperity gospel that infatuates so many of them. You know, such a strange development ought not to take us by surprise. If you read the Bible, John in Revelation chapter 3, he began to foretell us of the Laodicean church. Y'all remember the Laodicean church? And at the end of the Christian era, he said that Laodicea would be rich and increased in goods.
All right.
And imagine, they would even imagine themselves to be in need of nothing. So you can't think it's strange when stuff just starts dropping
right,
on you.
Right.
It's going to happen. But the Lord, however, he disassociated himself with the whole church. He declared himself to be outside of it all together. Really, what he said is, y'all make me sick. That's what he said. But the normal condition of the church in a world that hates Christ and that gave him like a cattle shed to be born in, and a cross on which to die, is one of rejection and persecution. That word, fiery trial, it really means to set on fire. Look at him. He said, beloved, I'm going to call you beloved.
Uh-huh.
You about to be set on fire.
My Lord.
Oh my God. How can I call you beloved?
Yeah.
And then let you know you fire about to come on you. Let you know that trouble is about to happen. That's showing off some good love right there.
Right.
I love you when I inform you that trouble is on
coming
the way.
Come on here.
All he's saying is, I got to let you know that the trouble is about to jump on you. That's what he says. Peter, he already told the leaders back there in chapter 1 that they were going to be refined in fire like as gold. And so listen, if you're going to be refined like gold, you won't be in the fire a long time. And not only a long time, but the fire
going
to be hot. So the trouble that you're about to experience is going to be long and hot. It's going to be trouble. I'm only telling you because I love you. He says that's a guaranteed experience. But even with your guaranteed experience, there ought to be a gladdening experience that comes along with you. You ought to be glad about the experience that you're about to have. Look at it, verse number 13. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Yeah.
He said when it shows up, sure enough, you not should be glad and rejoice, but you should have exceeding joy.
Mm-hmm.
doubtless here, Peter was again remembering his own taste of persecution in the early days of the church when he had been living in Jerusalem, and when he and the other apostles had defied the powerful Sanhedrin. Y'all know the story. Let me help you tell it again. Across the length and the breadth of the city, that they were there preaching and teaching. They performed miracles and they won converts to some folks got saved to Jesus. But then, you know, that enraged the Jewish authorities. That's how they looked on them. And they threw them in jail. But look, y'all remember what happened. An angel flung the door open. And they came at, went right back into the temple, back to preaching boldly in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Look at them. The frustrated Sanhedrin sent its officers to arrest the apostles again and bring them before the court. And again, Peter and his companions defied the Sanhedrin. The Jewish leaders made up in their mind they're going to kill these boys who were only spared because of Gamaliel was there. And he said, no, let's not do that. But they did not spare them from the stripes. Oh, my Lord. Peter, he is as if it would happen yesterday. The apostles each received the regulation 39 lashes. And with bruises and bleeding backs, they left the court. Y'all hear what they said? Luke says they said, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.
Jesus.
I know y'all ain't trying to suffer no shame for his name, but that's what glory looks like.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he and the next verse, that very next verse says, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. All I know is that they knew Jesus for themselves.
Uh-huh.
And wasn't no devil in hell, wasn't nobody else out there going to stop them from preaching the word of God, living like God called them to live, regardless of circumstances and situations. And they said it brought us joy. We counted, we thought it was good that we had been counted worthy.
Yes.
To suffer shame because of his name. I've been preaching for 9 weeks about the benefits of being connected to the church and the Holy Spirit, and all of them been wonderful. You wouldn't shout then. I know you ain't going to shout today, because this is a hard thing. You have gotten some wonderful things of being a benefit of being connected to the church. But today, I need to tell us, as I will be connected to the church, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have some rough stuff happen to you. It's going to be difficult. But you got to know when it comes in like a flood, you know that the Lord is on your side. And what I know about his word is that he will raise up a standard to keep it from you. It's amazing, y'all, that we really just get to see evil stuff come our way. We get to watch it show up all around us. But what happens? Well, wait a minute. You ain't even got to raise your hand. The Lord lifts up a standard. Keeps it from bothering you. So here, Peter, he knows exactly what he's talking about. He not making up anything. He knew from personal experience that gladness and boldness worked.
Yes.
He was glad for the suffering, and he was bold enough to go back and do the same thing that he was doing. Not many of us, we got thrown in jail one time for saying Jesus. you know how they say about being in jail. Many of us ain't trying to go. But over and over again, he kept preaching the word of the name of Jesus. That's what he did. Because, you know, what the devil going to do to men like this? Lock them up in prison, and they will win their jailers to Christ.
That's right.
Or they spend time in their writing epistles to expose all of the wiles of the devil. turn them loose, and they turn the world upside down.
My God.
Beat them, and you make them partakers of Christ's sufferings and fill their souls with some. Kill them, and you promote them to glory and make them candidates for a martyr's crown. There's nothing that you can do to those who go after God, go after him hard, that he's still going to get glory. Hold up, and glory comes to you.
Yeah.
Look at it. This it right here. Your glorifying experience. Verse number 14. I'm through. He says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. Do y'all see that? He gets glory on your part. So the Holy Spirit is the spirit. Here it is. The spirit of glory. Therefore, we ought not to be dull. It don't sense of us being dull. You still got to be the light that you have been called to be. I'm going to give you this example. I'm telling a story. I pulled some excerpts from Uncle Tom's tablet. Uncle Tom, y'all act like y'all, Harriet Beecher Stowe, it was Uncle Tom's brave, consistent, Christian-like life that aggravated cruel Simon Legree, so much so that he would persecute this black slave. Simon quickly learned that his new slave was a Christian, and he had found Tom's Methodist hymn book. He says to him, "So what's your name? And you belong to the church, huh?" "Yes, sir, master." That's what he said to him. He says, "Well, I soon have that out of you. I have none of y'all bawling and praying and singing hypocrites on my place. Y'all need to remember that. Now mind yourself," he said. "I'm your church now. You understand? You got to be as I say." Legree soon assessed Tom as a valuable slave, even though he felt a secret dislike of him. He had purchased Tom to be an overseer, but Tom was not hard enough. But Simon Legree would harden him. Out in the cotton field one day, Tom helped a slave woman. That's what he would do. Her name was Lucy. Legree heard about it, and he decided the time had come to harden up old Tom by making him flog or beat the poor woman. Tom's basket was weighed and approved, and he looked at anxiously as he awaits for the lady he had just befriended and tried to help as she gets her basket weighed. She goes up timidly and delivers her basket. It's full weight. But here that crazy Simon Legree. He said, "What, you lazy beast? Short again. Stand aside. You'll catch it pretty soon." The woman moves over and she sits down on a board and he says, Legree, "Now come here, you Tom. You see, I told you I didn't buy ye just for the common work. I mean to promote ye and make a driver of ye. And tonight ye may just as well begin to get your hand in it. Now you just take this here girl and flog her. You've seen enough on to know how. Here go, Tom. I beg master's pardon. Hopes master won't set me at that. It's what I ain't used to. Never did. And can't do. No way possible." He said, "Y'all learn pretty soon, pretty quick, pretty smart. Some things that you never know how to do, you've done before." But Legree took a cowhide and swiped him across the face. continued to beat him a little while, and then he takes a break. And he said, "Dad, I know that that's going to stop you. You tell me you ain't going to do it now." Mm-hmm. And he says, "Yes, Master." As he begins to wipe his face from the blood, "I'm willing to work night and day and work while there's life and breath in me. But there, yeah, that there thing, I can't feel it right to do. And Master, I never shall do it." Mm-hmm. Never. Mm-hmm. And you know that got Simon Legree angry. You know that messed him up. He was now determined even the more to break him. To break the will of time. He even tries to throw the Bible on me. He said, "Don't you never hear out of your Bible, servants obey your masters? Ain't I your master? Didn't I pay down $1,200 cash for all there is inside your old cussed black shell? Ain't you mine now, body and soul?" You know, he says, "You long to me." Yeah. Kicking him, he said, "Tell me." Hearing, he said, "No, no, no, my soul ain't yours. Master, you haven't bought it. You can't buy it. It's been bought and paid for by one that is able to keep it. No matter, no matter, you can't harm me." Listen at him. Yeah, but you know that just messed up Simon Legree. He calls old Sambo and Quimbo to give him the whipping of his life. These two gigantic Negroes show up and they begin to beat old Tom. But you know, it's something about the beatings that he received. Tom was refined by his beatings. One day, Legree heard him singing. He is singing. He done been beat, and there he's singing. "When I can read my title clear, mm-hmm, to mansions in the sky, uh-huh, I'd bid farewell to every fear, uh-huh, and wipe my weeping eyes." Glory to God. You get strength in the midst of your struggle. You get strength in the midst of your suffering, even when you're suffering for Christ. And you know how that infuriated Legree to hear his slave still singing after he's been beat near to death. Then there were two of Legree's of women slaves that escaped, and he took it out on old Tom. He said, "Now, Tom," snatches him up, do you know I made up my mind to kill you?" Mm-hmm. Listen to what Tom says. "Master, if you were sick or in trouble, mm-hmm, or dying, and I could save ye, I'd give you my heart's blood. And if taking every drop of blood is this poor old body, in this poor body would save your precious soul, I'd give them freely, as the Lord gave his for me. Mm-hmm. Oh, Master, don't bring this great sin on your soul. Yes. It will hurt you more than to me. Do the worst you can. Troubles will be over soon. But if you don't repent, yours won't never end." Tom never recovered, mm-hmm, from the beating he received that night.
Yeah.
You know, those two boys, Sambo and Quimbo, they did the beating. And they said to the Master, he's almost gone." Even though they had been touched by what they had seen, the patience that he had endured, mm-hmm, Master said, "Go on, keep on, get him. Give it to him. Keep giving it to him until he confesses, I want every drop of blood." But Tom, he wasn't quite gone. His words and his prayers had stuck upon the hearts of those men, even the ones that had been beating him. And the very instant that Legree left the place, they took him down. And they were ignorantly trying to call him back to life like they was doing him some kind of favor. Listen, Sambo says, "Certain we've been doing a dreadful, wicked thing.
Yeah.
Hope Master will have to count for it that we did it. But we hope Massa gets the blame. Yeah. They had been able to see and understand now all of what Tom had been preaching and teaching along.
Yeah.
And this poor black slave, Tom, he exemplified, come on back, he exemplified the words of Peter. I read it in the beginning. Though reproached by the name of Christ, he was happy. He even could say, the Spirit of glory and of God was rested upon him. Simon the Greek cursed the name of Jesus, the very man that Simon the Greek murdered glorified that same name. And maybe it was just a story. Maybe it was, but what a story. Harriet Beecher Stowe and her immortal Uncle Tom's Cabin did more than anyone or anything to bring an end to slavery in the United States. One could almost say that this text, 1 Peter chapter 4, was her text. Even if it wasn't, it should have been. But it sounds like somebody else out there. Sounds like my Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
As Tom took a beating for somebody else,
yeah,
Jesus took a beating,
yes,
for you,
yes,
and for me. He took nails and thorns and a spear. He did take it all. He did all that, and it did take all. Every drop of his blood for me. It was the blood that saved me. He suffered in my place and offered me the power that came as a benefit to his suffering. Listen, did you hear what I said? He suffered in my place and then offered me the power that came as a benefit for the suffering that he endured. All power in heaven and in earth. It had been in his hand. And you can have it too. You can have all that power.
Mm-hmm.
Only believe.
Yes.
If you just believe,
yes,
it belongs to you. Mm-hmm. And so my brothers and sisters, just because you have been connected to the church, you are going to endure. You are going to experience,
yes,
suffering.
Yes.
But you experience it with gladness and glory. The glory of God rest on you. Can I show you what that looks like? I'm through. But the text says that the glory of God rested on him. We think of glory. We think of brightness. We think of light. We think of shining. And when we think of God and his glory, we think of something that we can't even stand in our own mortal bodies. We can't even handle looking on his glory. It's magnificence. It's wonderful. All of that is resting on you. Even through your suffering, the glory of God is, Reverend Hyde, can you say that? Well, folks keep saying to you, they can't seem to understand how you are still making it through the stuff that you're going through.
Yeah, amen. Mm.
Because they see the glory.
Mm-hmm.
They see that you're able to bear up under this pressure. They see that you're able to endure through all of the changes. Because they don't see you, they see the glory of God resting on you. Because if they saw you, they would say, boy, get up from there. They would see you falling completely out. Still standing.
Yeah.
You're still walking.
Yes.
You're still being encouraged and encouraging of the glory.
Yes, Lord.
I know it looked dim on the front side of this message.
Mm-hmm.
But I came to tell you that the glory of God rests on you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of glory. That's why you are not dull. Glory to the Lamb of God.
Thank you.
Amen.